Welcome to the Meyer Conversations Podcast. Thanks for joining me. I'm Mick Reinhardt, and I offer you a glimpse behind the game day experience in the Eastern League. If you like what you hear, do me a favor and spread the word. On iTunes, you can subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. You can also now find us on Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. Our website is MeyerConversations.com, and you can catch us on Twitter at MinorConvsPod. Now, on to the show. For this episode, I'm joined by Bowie Bay Sox Director of Ticket Operations, Charlene Feuer. Charlene and I discussed her path to working for the Bay Sox, handling both group sales and the box office, and a typical day in her life when the Bay Sox are playing at Prince George's Stadium. Charlene and I talked before the horrific shooting at the Annapolis Capitol claimed the lives of five reporters. One of those victims was John McNamara, who had served as a Bay Sox beat writer for the entirety of their existence. Our hearts go out to the Bay Sox family on the loss of their friend and colleague. Sit back and enjoy episode 15 of the Meyer Conversations podcast with my guest, Charlene Feuer.
Thanks for joining me, Charlene. I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem at all, Mick. I appreciate having the time to. So,
I believe this is your 16th season with the Bay Sox, and you didn't start out in this industry. How did you get here?
Actually, it's kind of a funny story. I'm coming from a broadcast industry. I went to college as a television production major and was fortunate enough to get a job at a local radio station at the same time I was going to college in my freshman year. Did radio cross country for goodness, probably about 13 years, and did everything from on air to production to I was a program director for several stations. Left that and was fortunate enough to sign on with a voiceover company. Did that for a couple years out in San Francisco, and then decided it was kind of time to come back east. I was just strictly doing it as a summer job. I was actually originally signed on as an unpaid marketing intern. And it just so happened that the day I came in for the interview, the gentleman who had a group sales position as an intern had just been deployed with the military. So I turned around and ended up more or less going on with they asked me if I'd consider a full-time job, so which is exactly what I did. I did it more or less as an intern for the first season. At the end of the season, they said, would you mind kind of keeping an eye on the box office for us? Which is hilarious because anybody who knows me knows I can't add two and two to save my life. But so I went ahead and I did that for a couple of years. And then in 2009, the gentleman who was in the group sales position more or less took a job with the local county school system, decided to go back and be a school teacher. They weren't going to hire anybody in the middle of June, so I said, you know, I would keep an eye on things until the end of the year, and rest is history. They asked if at the end of the year if I would consider staying on doing group sales, and I said, that's fantastic. You know, what about the box office? They asked if I'd continue to watch the box office as well, so ever since then, I've kind of been overseeing both departments and everything in between, so.
Back to your broadcast upbringing, I'll say. You went to Tulane, is that correct?
No, I did not. I went to Loyola. My brother went to Tulane. He was on the other side of the alley. Literally between the two schools, there is an alley that divides us. So I went to Loyola, and Lisa was a television broadcast major there. And my brother went to Tulane and is the one that's making the big bucks while I get to enjoy life in the minors. So.
But you still went to school in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You worked there. Surely there has to be some good stories from your time there.
Oh, there are some stories. Unfortunately, there's a type thing I'm not going to put out on air because they'll come back and haunt me someday. But no, actually, it was a fantastic opportunity. I can remember when I had gone ahead to actually look for the job for the first time. I had just moved to the area down there, my family had. And I called every TV station in the market, and I never got beyond the receptionist. I finally started going through the radio stations. The very last radio station that I called happened at the time to be the top radio station in the city, and I got the biggest runaround from there. I was transferred to, I'm not kidding you, five different people. And the last person that I got a hold of and talked to him, probably on the phone for about 10, 15 minutes, I hung up the phone. I'm like, I think I have a job, but I'm not sure what it is. He's like, can you come down the next day? And I actually started in market research. Yes, I was one of those annoying people that would call you at dinner time and say, hey, what radio stations do you listen to? At that time, it wasn't as difficult as it is now. But I'll tell you, it was the best upbringing I could hope for because it's translated so well in other businesses. I mean, I still rely on all my market research training from what I did day one back at that radio station. So, and I met some fantastic people along the way, which was the best part of it.
So break down your title for me in a little bit. So we'll break it down into the two separate sections. Mm-hmm. So ticket operations, you handle the box office, and is that pretty much the entire gist of it, or what kind of what goes into
it?
Well,
I would be happy if that was the entire gist of it. No, actually, anything that you do in the minors, when you start with the title, and as opposed to most places you go, your title is kind of your end point. In minor leagues, that's your starting point. As far as the box office aspect of it, it's actually kind of fun. I'm very, very lucky in that I have a assistant director of sales and a box office manager. So they both handle a lot of the day-to-day operations in both departments, and my job is to kind of keep things moving in between and keep the communication flowing. That being said, I still do a lot of our day-to-day, like our game day reports and financial aspects of things. I'm still our liaison with our financial department. As far as the box office side, I'm still responsible for our game day staff. I'm doing my scheduling for July at this point. But I have that all set up. I also do all of the programming for our ticket system. So, again, they keep me busy wherever they need to, kind of whatever hole needs to be filled. For better or worse, I'm the one that's been here forever. So when a question comes up about something that had been done before, I'm kind of like the historian that can kind of fill in a lot of the gaps. So especially for the box office side, it's kind of taking your mind and switching it not only to the operation as far as people walking up and how does the individual customer need to be handled and dealing with the customer service aspect of that. But then it's also taking the back end and saying, how do we translate what happens at the box office to them physically getting a ticket, to them taking care of seating, to making sure that the financials go through correctly so that at the end of the day we're reported and can balance out to zero at the end of the day.
On the creative side, mm-hmm. Do you have any say in the design of the tickets every year?
Oh, yeah, I do it all. Actually, I do. I'm very fortunate in that we have a outside actual graphics department that handles the design work of our tickets. We've inherited them over the years, and the people that I work with up there are absolutely fantastic. What I usually do as far as the actual look each year, that's usually my October project, September, October, where I kind of get an idea of what we're looking for the feel for the next year. Are we, do we have a theme already set? If not, can I establish a theme? And what I try and do from my standpoint is whether it's our undated ticket books, I like to have the look of those undated ticket books follow through to what our season tickets look like, follow through to what our individual thermal stock, individual people's coming up with their tickets look like. I also do all the design layout. Like I said, our ticket system is fantastic in that it allows us locally that creative control. It also is fantastic because it allows us to kind of, we're constantly changing the system in order to make it more user-friendly for our game day staff coming up, and also for the needs of what we're doing. If we suddenly have a promotion that is coming on at the last minute, we've got the ability in-house to make those changes. So I'm constantly doing that aspect. It's kind of neat because I actually have learned computer things that I had no idea. I now know how to code things and all that kind of neat stuff. So it's fun.
Yeah, I would think it would be a different part of your brain almost in terms of all of that.
That
aspect of it compared to the rest of it, yeah. So the group sales, mm-hmm. Can you go into a little detail about what to handle with group sales? I'm not so sure the listeners really understand group sales in terms of, mm-hmm. They know what when they go as part of a group, but they don't know the entire wide range of it.
Right. Well, basically the way that I kind of explain to my guys when I'm bringing them in is when we're doing, from a marketing aspect, when we're doing promotions, there's basically three type of promotions that we do. Promotion number one is designed to appeal to your individual fan that just says, hey, I want to go to the game today. Let me take a look at the schedule and see what's on there. The second kind is kind of something that isn't necessarily generated or isn't necessarily designed to generate a fan walk-up, but it's generated, or it's designed to give us a buzz. So that example that I keep using that everybody gives me the face afterwards is a couple years ago we did a back hair appreciation night. I'm going to tell you, back hair appreciation didn't draw a single fan, but it got us noticed on ESPN. It got a buzz in local media. So now suddenly we've given ourselves the opportunity to be in the conversation when people are thinking of something to do. The third type of promotion is designed around groups. What the idea for that is we want to put something on paper that has us driving groups of people ahead of time to purchase tickets. And when I say ahead of, what I'm trying to say is that when you're designing that, you want to say something like a baseball and education day. You know that the people that are going to come to that are your elementary schools. So what your job is then to say, okay, I have this date on my calendar. What type of person, what type of group is going to want to come out to that? You go after your businesses. You go after your schools. You go after your churches. What groups is designed to do is to kind of build your attendance that you know no matter what happens, if there's rain, if it's an extra hot day, you know those people are going to come no matter what. So that's kind of building your pre-attendance. What walk-up is designed to do is to build your attendance in stadium on any given day. So walk-up is a lot more dependent on weather and things you can't control. Where groups, what we're doing is we're designed to build that base that no matter what happens, we're going to have people in the ballpark.
And group sales, for a lot of people that don't realize it, is kind of your focus, I'd say, in the off season. What the rest of us would consider to be the off season, the October all the way up through opening day at least.
Well, again, you have to understand that for us, there is no, there really is no off season. That, in fact, that's the biggest question that we get is to, what do you do in your off season? Boy, you know, it must be nice to sit there and just put your feet up for 7 months out of the year. Man, I'd love that job. you know, we're fortunate in that, you know, in the Eastern League, we get our schedule most likely in around that July timeframe. We're actually able to release it, you know, to the public in that September timeframe. But that gives us an opportunity to start planning for next year, you know, to fill in some of those holes and some of those dates. You know, we can look at our schedule and say we know that, you know, we're looking ahead to see what kind of groups are going to fit. And like, we know certain groups of people are going to come for certain dates. I mean, I have customers. When I do Star Wars every year, I have groups of people that will book specifically for Star Wars. They want to know that date, and I will sell out the stadium as far as my catered rooms available. I will sell that out before I ever hit the month of November because they are specifically looking for that date. Those are the kind of dates we love. But yeah, our off season is planned. We kind of go in cycles in that the beginning part of it is designed to get our ticket plan holders back, and that falls under our group sales as well. It's people that are buying not only our undated tickets, but people that can go ahead and buy tickets for a full season, for an 8-game mini plan, for a 16-game mini plan. We're picking up those as soon as the season ends, and sometimes we try to overlap so that it's at the end of the current season. Then our next part is we're doing a lot of planning. I mean, we'll put out our save the date information for some of our bigger nights, like our baseball and education and things like that. Our save the dates are out as early as September, knowing that people aren't going to actually book until January, but it gets it on people's calendars ahead of time. But I mean, we start our actual renewals. I mean, in September, most of our calls are done. And then our December timeframe, because people aren't necessarily thinking baseball in December, we're focused more on our holiday packages and things that are more like gift giving. But by January 1st, we are all starting in earnest to try and get for the season, because we actually have a very short selling season. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's a very quick turnaround for us.
So go into detail for a typical game day like today, other than this interview. Game starts at 7:05. When are you getting into the office? And kind of just walk us through your entire day.
Well, with what we do, we're very much on the fly, in the sense that things, we can go in with the best laid plans, and the second that there's rain in the forecast, all of that changes. In an ideal world, for today, for example, I'm usually in between 8 and 8:30 in the morning. And at that point, I'm also liaison with our catering department. So the first thing that I'm doing is I'm getting our pre-sale numbers ready to let not only my general manager, but the key people on staff, whether it's our game day operations, our catering, to give them an idea of how many people we're expecting in the ballpark currently for that evening's game. Plus, I work 2 weeks ahead. So I have not only for today's game am I giving them pre-sale numbers, but I'm doing it for the rest of this homestand plus the following homestand to give them time to prep. After that, I'm doing my catering updates, which takes a little bit because I've got to go through every game for not only this homestand, but the one after that. Figuring out, you know, do I have people in rooms? How many people are there? What changes have been made since yesterday? Are there more people now coming? Are there less? Have they changed their food options? That sort of thing, their timing. Because I've got to be able to relay all that information to our catering company in order to make sure that our customers are taken care of. Once that's done, let's see, today I did staffing. I'm responsible for making sure that a lot of our internal staff has their positions during the game including fan assistance. If anybody has to be with somebody doing like national anthem, making sure that our catering check is done upstairs, making sure our picnics are covered. Let's see, from that, I'm currently working, as I said, on scheduling for July, because I have to get that out to our game day staff today. That usually takes me up to close to that 3 o'clock time, and that's not including people just walking in with questions about they have a group that they need some further information on, or what can we do with this pricing, that pricing, that sort of thing. That usually takes me close to 3 o'clock on a game day. I'm then closing out from our morning sales, getting ready for our evening sales. My game day staff usually starts arriving about 4:30 in the afternoon. I have to get them all updated to make sure they know what's going on for tonight. During the game, I'm actually is my quiet time. I'm actually very happy with that part, because fortunately most of my game day staff has been with me forever, so they kind of run themselves at this point, which is really nice. In the meantime, I have my groups department checking in. I have my catering department checking in if there's any issues that need to be resolved. I start letting my game day staff go probably about the second inning. I close my windows in earnest at the seventh inning on a game like tonight, because we don't have fireworks. And then after that, then I'm starting to do financial close downs for the night. I do any wraparound that has to be done with my staff. If I'm doing everything on target and there's no other questions on a Monday night, I'm probably out of here at 12:30, 1 o'clock. If it's a weekend, it may be closer to 2 or 3. And then we come back and back in by 8:30 the next morning and starting it all over again. And that's the short version.
And like most people in baseball, you don't get to watch almost any of it, do you?
I have not seen, no. My physical office and most of what I do, because I'm in a central location of the stadium, is most of it's based out of the box office itself. So I spend my entire games watching the parking lot. And we do have a very lovely parking lot. Our landscaping has been fantastic this year facing that direction. But to actually see the games themselves, it's very minimal, unfortunately, which is hard being a baseball fan. But the way you look at it, I'm more than probably most people, I'm the business side of the game. I'm, like I said, I'm responsible for the sales and the money movement and the communication between departments. So for better or worse, I really don't have a lot of time to watch it.
But is that what drew you originally when you moved back to the area?
I was working in baseball. Are you kidding?
Well, that's what I meant. I meant working in baseball. Mm-hmm. You thought, oh, this is great. Yep. And then it ended up, I'm not watching any baseball.
Correct. But for better or worse, even when I worked in radio, later on in my career, I did the on-air part. I'm much more a behind-the-scenes type person. I like to pull the strings and you know, more or less plan things out and get things organized. And that's what I do, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to look at it. I like to think I'm pretty good at that. So for me, more or less, by the time today's game hits, there's nothing else I can do to affect today's game other than put out fires. So from my standpoint, by the time my game day staff leaves, between then and the seventh inning when we close and I can start moving numbers ahead, I'm spending those you know, four innings, instead of being out on the concourse watching the game, I'm working ahead to, you know, the next homestand, the homestand after that. I'm looking ahead to August, you know. I have to. That's my job, is to keep things moving forward. I can't look at what's happening right now.
I would think one of the perks of your job, not only in the position, but also how long you've been there, is the relationships you have with the season ticket holders.
Yes.
Is that true in Bowie as it is most other places as well?
Absolutely. I can honestly say that so many of our season ticket holders, and not only our full seasons, but people that I may only see, you know, eight games a year, have become friends. Most definitely. We actually just had our season ticket holder. We do a batting practice every year as kind of a thank you for, you know, their continued support. And it's so nice. I had 285 people come, and, you know, all of them that come up there and they know me by name. Which is fantastic. And you know their backstories, and it's like, oh, it's so good to see you. You know, oh, the baby's grown so much since then. You know, how are things going? I haven't seen you out at games this time of year. But it's the little things. I have one season ticket holder who is absolutely fantastic. And he's an eight-game plan holder. But every year he comes to the batting practice party, and he stops at the bakery on his way. You're not going to get that working in a bank. You know, you have that one-on-one contact. And to be able to know that you're working with people that don't necessarily view you as just an employee, but they view you as part of their families. It's absolutely amazing to be in a position like that.
Is that the best part of the job?
I think it's one of the top five, having those one-on-one interactions. For my purpose,
what are some of the other ones?
For my purposes, I've never been a 9-to-5 person. I completely respect people that, you know, can go in and know what their schedule is every day and know that it's not going to change and know they're going to have weekends. That unfortunately isn't me. It's never been me. So the fact that I can come in and quite frankly not know what I'm walking into every day, there's a certain adrenaline rush that comes from that. And to me, that is a perk that you're not going to get in a lot of other places. I love the fact, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, with us in minor league baseball, we're very much a training facility, for lack of a better term. We get a lot of people that are coming in out of school for their very first jobs. I love the fact that I can work with so many new people and learn so many new stories and can hopefully give them insight as to what it is to work in sports, so that when the day comes and they get the call that there's going to be somebody out there that can, you know, that can take them to that next level, whether it's a major league assignment, whether it's an NFL, NBA, whatever. I think I'm happier than they are, because it means I've done my job well. So I think that, to me, again, that's kind of that one of those intangibles. I love being able to teach the next generation coming up. So it's kind of fun.
I think that does it for me. I appreciate the time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Very welcome.
And that wraps up episode 15 of the Meyer Conversations podcast. Until next time, see you at the ballpark.